1. Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And going east from Jerusalem is headed over to Babylon. And you would recall, without turning there, in Daniel, in chapter 2 and verse 2 and verse 10, this word that you're looking at here in verse chapter Matthew 2, 1, wise men, is mentioned again. The wise men came, the Magi came to in Daniel's day. The Magi were the wise men, the wise people that studied stars and everything. And so here in chapter 2 and in verse 1 of Matthew, the wise men, people that studied the stars and studied everything, trying to think about everything. And so they'd be the ones most susceptible to pay attention. And God led them there by a star. And he brought them there. And it took a while, because you aren't going 50 miles, you're going several hundred miles. So it takes a while to travel. And they didn't hurry. And God moved them there all the way over to Jerusalem. And then God moved the star, just more so that they could locate, and it moved the star to Bethlehem and to the stable, the manger. Now, in the process of that, time has gone on. The celebration of the taxing is all over. People have all left Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph have a little baby that has to be, you can't just run around, so they stayed there. After the baby was first born. And so the baby is there, and they aren't in the manger anymore. They're in a house or a facility like that. So now when you come to Matthew chapter 2, here's the wise men in pursuit still. In verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. So they're paying attention with their eyes, and they see the star, and they're following the sign that God gives them, and they go and see the child. So they go from the star to the child, and see the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down, and what did they do? They worshiped him. They worshiped this young less than 2 years old child, approximately no more than 2 years old, because Herod only kills them up to 2 years old from the time that they was put on notice. So now, here they are, and in verse 12, they're worshiping, and when they had opened their treasures, their chests that they carried, they presented unto him the child that they worshiped. And you have to understand, here they are worshiping a child. And so they have to be pretty sensitive to some things that were going on that they couldn't explain. But boy, they were heavenly, no question the star. And they had to do with a king. A king was born, not a king. He didn't become a king. He was a king. And they presented him as they opened their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And remember, that was one of the policies the people did. Then if you had a new ruler, the Queen of Sheba or anyone else, and the ruler becomes into power, then what do? Well, the dignitaries from other countries that are going to be subservient or subject to that country, in ally with it, they're going to come and send representatives to recognize the power that exists. And so here they come, and they're doing what they do. They represent in the manger to this baby, little baby, and they bring the gifts of gold. Gold, very, very valuable. Remember, most of the things and in the tabernacle, the most valuable metal was gold. Everything was gold. The streets of heaven are gold, gold. Different kind of gold, and gold and frankincense, and remember that has to do with the fragrance that was mixed in the altar of incense, and so frankincense is something you use to make fragrance, to make its like thinking of burning special candles. The fragrance that would create a special atmosphere. And myrrh had to do with death and also with incense and fragrance. And so here they're bringing these things that are very, very noted. And biblically, they are found in Genesis and, in Exodus chapter 28, 29, 26. So now, having said that, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so they're coming, and they bring these gifts. And in the process of bringing these gifts, they had a understanding of, some understanding had to have, to come that far, and to have all that time in travel to consider when they got there in a manger, in a feeding stall, a baby. No more a baby, but a young child. Now, having said that, it has to have some kind of relationship. And God, they had one by way of the star, by way of their understanding, as much as they had, and they honored that understanding and came and gave gifts to the little baby, the young child. Now, in the process of that, keep in mind that God, in his wonderful thing, you need to have a relationship. And so all gifts getting, you have to have some relationship to receive. You have to have a relationship of some kind and in order to receive a gift. And when you receive a gift, you don't have the gift until you receive it. So there's no sense in doing much with it because you don't have it until you actually receive the gift. When you actually receive the gift, then you are in possession of the gift. When you are in possession of the gift, which is necessary, now you can exercise and use the gift and dispense the gift. You can't give something away that you don't have. You can't give it away. You can't do it. So now, God, that's a biblical truth we're going to look at. So God, we have to be receivers. That's right. And you can't be possessors until you are receivers. You got to receive something. And then you can possess it. And when you possess it, you're supposed to understand where it came from and to honor in the light of God's word, in the light of God, and honor the person that gave it. Honor the person that gave it. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, remember God the Father gives God the Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father gives his Son. God the Son and God the Father give God the Holy Spirit. God the Father gives to the church, the body of believers, his Son as the head. God the Son gives the body the result, the believers that belong to him. The believers that belong to him come back and honor the Father. So there's a circle, and everything starts with God, comes all the way around circle, and back to God. And you'll read it, you'll remember, if you would, when you come to, you may want to turn there just to get it. Here's Colossians, but we'll go to Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you will note that when everything is done, the beginning of time, the whole purpose of time, and time is taken up into eternity. God, what's the whole purpose of all of creation? Chapter 15, our Lord Jesus Christ, that's his assignment. Verse 27, you remember. For he, God, hath put all things under his feet, that's Christ. And when he hath put all things under him, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, obvious, that it is he that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. So apparently the Lord is accepted because he's God. God the Father, equal to God the Son, equal to God the Holy Spirit. Verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued in subjection, in right order, unto him, all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject, same verb, unto him that put all things under him, and all of it, when it's all done, all said and done, that God may be all in all. When you're all done, it's all about God. All about God. Another way to see it, since we're on it without taking too much time, over to Romans chapter 11, you know. Romans in chapter 11. And you'll pick up, please, if I may go directly to verse 36, the end of the section on Israel. Verse 36, 11:36, directly. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Everything, he's the source. Everything keeps going. He's the source, and everything moves. He starts it and makes it all move, and it ends up with him. Starts with him and ends with him. What do we know of all, keep reading the Bible, what do you read? All believers, what do they get? People that get a sense of God. They honor him with what? Praise, honor, glory, recognition. We give back to him. That's what we do. What are you doing, three wise men? We're going and giving back to the one who created all these stars. Like Abraham believed God, believed the stars and believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, in the light of that, so remember, and for time's sake, I would have you keep in mind that in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, I'm just getting the word received, you know it, a little bit. Receive him. I got to receive a person. If I don't receive a person, I don't have anything. How do you know? He that hath the Son hath what? He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. If I didn't receive the Son, I don't have any life. That's pretty. I had many as receive him, to them gave he. But if I didn't receive him, I don't have anything. He brings it. So if I have to receive him as my Savior, and I do that. And when I do that, John 1:12, and he, the one who I receive, the only begotten, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, and he is full of grace and truth. And down in verse 16, and we receive, there's your verb again, John 1:16, we receive grace in place of grace, in place of grace, wave upon wave, endless, 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 endless. God, we are to be receivers not only of your Son, but of all the ongoing benefits that go with it. So when does it end? Never. Never ends. So God, when I received you, it was the beginning of my being a receiver and never, never coming to an end of receiving. I am to receive, not one day at Christmas or something. I am to receive the rest of my forever. That's the arrangement. Now, hang on. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Romans. You're already in Romans still, baby. Why not? Romans chapter 8. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. So we're going to find the word in verse 16, the Spirit himself, Romans 8, 16. For the Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, children, as many as received him. And if children, then heirs, and it then is heirs of God, that we're rightly getting something from God, and joint heirs with Christ. So we aren't just getting something. We're getting something because of someone else. That's Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who we received. When we received him, all that he has, we're joint heirs, becomes ours. Wonderfully so. In some marvelous way, we become part of that. So not only are we possessors of that, but then God, you elevate us another notch in relationship. And in Romans 8, while you're here, verse 14, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. And that's the word for the Son of God. Son, a full qualified son, not a children born again, born a new birth. No, this is full benefit of a son. A son. You are sons of God. Sons in the light of the Son, who you are joint heirs. So, God, here we have this unique relationship that we have that makes us have to try to follow all this, God, that we have. So now, Romans 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with the Son, who we are made heirs and joint heirs, how shall he not with him also freely, there's your little word, freely give. No, just giving. Us gives us what? All things. So a joint heir, I have all the benefits. All the benefits of a son, because of the son being joint heirs, of all the benefits. Wow. And they're all there. Anyway, over if you would please to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 12. Well, let me just go a little bit better on that. Verse 10, 2:10, 1 Corinthians. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. We know all about humans a little bit, and God knows all about himself. And now, God, who's going to tell me about you except God? You have to tell me about yourself. Verse 12. Now we have received not, N-O-T, the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that purpose, that we might know what? The things that are freely given to us of God. So with him, freely give us all things. And all of those things, we don't know them. We have no way on earth to know them. You know them, God. And God dispense them as you wish. And help us to understand that relationship, to enjoy it, to exercise it. So now, having said that, over, if you would, to Colossians. And in Colossians, please, going to chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, may I go to verse 12, little bit of the context. Buried with him, remember Christ died for us, buried with him in baptism, identification with him. He died, we died. Herein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. He took us to the cross, he took us to the empty tomb, took us to, in his right hand, to be seated in heavenly places. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, having no relationship, getting nothing from God, to having everything from God. And why can I have everything from God? Because of my identification with Him. Now, and in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having forgiven you freely, 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 freely forgiving you, freely. God just did it. He gave Himself and took your sin and mine, the penalty, the punishment. He took all of that, the guilt. He took all of that to the cross. And He turned around and made it so that He could look at you, look at any human, to search up and down all of the streets of the world, all of the jungles of the world, all of the islands of the world, to go anywhere in the world and look at anybody and offer them eternal life, to give them a wonderful opportunity to be saved. And God, all they have to do in the middle of the desert of some place, Sahara or someplace else, all they have to do is look up to the sky like the Magi, like Abraham, and they don't have anything, but they say, God, You're awesome. And God will do the rest. Wow. So now, having said that, having been forgiven, so we need to understand that God, we have received forgiveness. Forgiveness. God forgave us. And you'll pick it up again, same word, in chapter 3 and in verse 13. 3 and 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do also do you. So God, we ought to be forgiving because God, You are forgiving us. Now, how can I possibly forgive anybody unless I have received forgiveness? I have to be a receiver of forgiveness. I can't give away what I don't have. I have to have forgiveness. And when I have been forgiven, and I understand I am forgiven, Ephesians 4:32, when I understand that, then God, as You are forgiving me, I am freed, because freely have I given, freely give. Freely have I received, freely give. So God, here I am, I'm able to freely forgive. I have it. If I'm not enjoying forgiveness, I cannot give it in the right way. I have to have it active in my life, being forgiven. Wow. And if it isn't active, you can say it with your mouth and whatever, but it isn't, you haven't enjoyed and exercised the wonderment of the benefit. And you can't give away what you haven't got to give. So God, here You are dealing with us in Your wonderful way, and You seek to deal with us and honor Yourself. And in the light of that, the Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful work in our heart. And we need to understand that, Spirit of God, what are You going to do? Your job is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is to honor the Father. No man, I am the way, the Lord said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. So I'm going to get to the Father. So the Spirit of God, You want of the Lord. The Lord, You want of the Father. So I'm going to come and I'm going to get. Where am I going to end up? With the Father. That's where I'm going to end up. I got the Son. I got the Son in my heart. And I'm going to end up as a son before the Father. That's what I'm going to do. That's my right as a human being saved by God's wonderful grace. Now, having said that, so now people have all kinds of ways, and Satan has a system, and Satan can give all kinds of stuff. All it does, though, all that Satan gives, and he does give, demons, etc., they're there, They can give some super duper stuff, just like the Antichrist is going to have, like the false prophet is going to have. That super stuff. And the devil, you can give stuff, and people have, all through history, have finally, and by drugs and everything else, given themselves to voodoo and everything else on Haiti and such. Wow. Jungles, woo. But that's the devil. You can give, all it is darkness and death. So God, I'm not in the, I don't want to get your giving. No, I don't want that. And the world system in which I live, which is under you, the world system gives all kinds of stuff. And we try it. We're always busy. We're attracted to it. And we're adventurous to pursue it. And we pursue it. Work, home, school, money, comings and goings and pleasures and all kinds of stuff. And we're busy in the world trying to get what the world is offering. And this, it's the Christmas season, and fortunately for business world, it helps them. So you're all spending money more so. And they're glad. They're glad. It's a thing. And they want you to be attractive to something. That's why there's 75% off. So that you'll get attracted to it and buy it. I mean, that's the whole point. To have it. So, well, the world system's giving. It is. But God, we're learning a little. And remember in 1 Timothy 6:7, we brought how much into the world? We brought nothing into the world. And it is absolutely certain you'll take nothing out. And Job will say, Job 1:21, naked came I into the world, and I'm surely going to go out naked. I brought nothing in. I can take nothing out. So all the stuff that we're caught up in, giving and getting, we get caught up in that, understandably. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so God gives himself in a wonderful way, and we're to have all those benefits. Over, if you would, to Ephesians. Remember, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 7, directly, but unto every one of us, every single believing heart that received the Lord as a Savior, is given grace upon grace upon grace, and above grace, according to the what? The measure, how much of the gift of Christ. So I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's the Son, and I become a son. And when I do, I'm no more a son than you are. And you are no more a son than I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have that in him. And God, you do what you do and with us as children in your family, as sons, and you do that wonderfully so. So now, having said that unique relationship and keeping in mind that God, you are going to, over Ephesians 1:18, the eye, prayer, I'm moving quickly, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, here's the place, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the wonderful thing that God received when you got saved. What did God receive when you got saved? You sang it on Sunday. The only thing we can give to God is ourselves. So God, here we are. So God, here we are, and we're looking to you, and you did something wonderful. We didn't plan salvation. We didn't even think of it. We couldn't even think of it. God, you did. So you have a wonderful plan to save human beings. And you are delighted to do so because they are going to be to your glory and honor and praise. Now, how so, God? How so is that going to be? Over to chapter 5 of Ephesians. In chapter 5, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, set it apart, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. Verse 27. And what are you doing all that for, God? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God, you want it, you want to have what you've done, God. Christ died, the world rejects him, Israel's rejecting him. God, you have taken a whosoever's to believe in the church age, here we are, and you've placed us and given us a unique relationship. You're the head, we're the body honors the head honors the body, unique, wonderful relationship. And in the process of that exercise, we are your prized inheritance. And the body honors the head honors the body. And the head and the body honor the Father who gave it all. Now, and so, here we are looking, and God, so we're going to honor you, and we're going to give to you. What are we going to give? Well, we're going to give thanksgiving, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, indescribable, there's no words to talk about it, but how can there be? If God, you gave yourself, and with him, everything that he has to the believing heart. God, how do we explain that? How do we describe that kind of giving? How do we describe that kind of gift? How do you describe that gift? Something. It isn't something you put under a tree or something. No, you can't do that. No, no, the gift is quite different, dear friends. And thus, here we are looking. And in the process, we're wishing for things, and we're wishing, and God, and you know, without doing all of that, in the process of wishing God, remember the Israelites said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And God, what did you do? Well, and Psalm 73 and all of those things. Well, God, we're looking at the world. What did you get? What did you get? What did you get? What did you get? What didn't we get? Oh, that's what we do. World does that all the time. Covetous, envious, jealous, all kinds of things. We do it. But God, what did you tell the psalmist? The psalmist had to wake up and look and said how stupid he was. The psalmist was. He was like a dumb donkey. He said, I'm a wild beast, too stupid about it all. I forgot. The world's giving and giving and giving and getting. But they bring nothing in and they take nothing out. What am I doing being looking like that, thinking like that? How wrong it is. I lose out on all the benefits. Absolutely, absolutely. And when it comes to wanting, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want God. So wishing and wanting God. I don't have to want, no. No, you're going to teach me. God, what about need? Need, all kinds of needs, all kinds of needs, God. We have them. We have the needs. Oh, so many needs. But God, there isn't a problem for you. Over to Philippians. And in Philippians, as you know, in chapter 4, picking up in verse 11, pick up the want part. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, wherein to be content. I had to learn it. I didn't come easy. Came by having and losing and having and losing and having and not having. That's how I learned. And I know, verse 12, how to be abased, how to go low, how to abound. I know how to have much and how to have little. Bound everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And my God, verse 19, shall supply all your need. So God, do you know my need? Matthew 6. I told you I know your need. You don't have to tell me about your need. I know your need. I know your wants. I know your wishes. And I want you to know that all that which I know about you, it's what you don't know about me that's the problem. I already know about you. You don't know about me. My ways and my thoughts of you are what? Remember? Higher than what? More than the sand of the sea. And you're limiting me, restricting me to your mind and your need and your want and your wishes, and you lose out. Now, and so it's a giving. So now, a little illustration for hopefully, who knows, it may help you. It's a great truth if I can do it. Now, I have a Tootsie Roll. This isn't just a plain lollipop. This is a Tootsie Roll lollipop up here. Now, and I'm willing to give this, something like this, to the person that would like to have one. So I need a volunteer that would like to have one. So I don't know, male, female, or it. Take your pick.
I'll take it.
You're going to try it? All right, I know you would. Daring fellow. Now, you want that?
Sure.
Now, this is mine. Okay, now, I'm going to give you that. You ready? You got that. Now, don't go away. Open that. How many have you got?
Two.
Two of them. I gave you two of them. Now, I want you to know, do you like Tootsie Roll lollipop?
Yeah.
You do like them. Okay. Now, are you interested? Now, what I want to know is, this is my lollipop. Mine. And you got two of mine. True?
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah.
Two. Now, I want to know, do you understand where the lollipop came from?
Yeah.
Where? Me. All right. So I want you to know, to show that you know where this lollipop came from, and I'm going to have you go, and you can do something with those two lollipops, at least with one of them.
Okay.
What can you do?
Eat it.
Hmm?
Eat it.
No. I want you to go, and if you understand where it came from, and the only way you can understand that is to show me that you understand where this came from by giving me one of them, if you would. That's what I want. Are you giving that freely? Free. You want to give it to me?
Yeah.
You do. Because I gave you two, right? Mm-hmm. And you like lollipops.
Yeah.
So you're going to give me one of them. Don't put it back in the bag. So you're going to give me one. All right, now. That's a little illustration. Do you understand? God gives you. What God gives you is His. And when you get it, the way you show it's His is by recognizing Him. How do you recognize Him? By giving back to Him what He gives you. Now, I'll give it to you simply. When it comes to the wonderful word called L-O-V-E, where do you all find love? I mean, don't play that. Heaven. No one loves you like God. God loved you, loves you. You never loved Him. You don't love Him until He saves your heart and you yield. And then, when He saves your heart, We remember 1 John 4:10. We didn't love God. God loves us. John 4:19, 1 John. We love Him because He what? He first loved you. And the love comes back. You understand? Love gives, and love comes back. Comes back. You understand that? That's why with praise and honor and glory, you recognize where everything came from. The very breath you breathe. And when you get right and get saved, rightly with God, you're going to have that kind of mood and that kind of heart. And it's going to overflow. And God's going to give. And the more and all that He gives is going to outflow. The inflow must outflow, or else there's no flow. There isn't any. God, you love me. I do. And it's because I'm loved that I can have some of it. I can hand it out. I don't hand it out with. I don't even understand it. But it's there. Wow. But if He did give it back, then it won't fulfill itself. We read in the beginning, everything I give out here must all come back to me, that I might be all in all, that I might be found to the praise and honor and glory in a human heart of all that I am. It all must come back to me. And so it isn't all taking in, because you won't have anything. You see, if He keeps this, He doesn't get any more. He doesn't get any more. You want to keep that? What's that mean? You going to let me keep it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Does it pay to do that? Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Remember what we read in Romans 8:32. I know you don't know that. Do you know that? Romans 8:32. If God gives us His Son, and with Him also, He freely gives us all things. So the more I understand giving to God, like David of old. You ever meet David?
Mm-hmm.
David?
Yeah.
No. And in the process, David was a great guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, he said, everything I have has come from You, God. And everything I have goes back to You. So I have an open hand. You put it in my hand and take it out of my hand. And God, the more I open my hands, the more I have. Freely have I received, freely give. So I'm enjoying a unique, privileged relationship as a son to the Son, as a joint heir. And I have all the benefits at all times in the light of the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I lose not one drop during the night, in the morning. Are you wonderfully, wonderfully, always God? Absolutely. My God and my Savior. Huh? Now, Romans 8:32. Mm-hmm. Remember that? You got that? Huh? Hey, you got it? I wish I had it. You ready? Don't get another one. This is yours. Thank you. Do you understand a little? It's the way it is. You let God be God to you. And all you're going to do is bow. Like the Magi, the wise men. And a worship. God, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. At this time, we're going to have a special piece of music, even though it's a little late, and that'll be our closing. Are we?